Children, I'm sure in school you have learned or you're going to learn about the seven wonders of the world. These are usually seven very ancient sites that the ancient world regarded as wonder-making. They made people gasp when they saw them, things like the Pyramid of Giza. But over the years, that list of the seven wonders of the world has developed. We now get the seven wonders of the engineering world. So, for example, the Empire State Building is on that. There are seven wonders of the technological world, including the internet. We have seven wonders of the undersea world, seven wonders in the galaxy, and so on. There are many lists now of wonders in the world. And over the years, we would have to say that that's also developed a spiritual list. There's also a spiritual list, the seven wonders of the spiritual world. And that list usually includes things like tongue speaking, where people speak in tongues and it's allegedly a foreign language or some kind of special spiritual language that few people can make sense of but God himself. And then there's maybe prophecies where people will predict something is going to happen, tell the future. That's regarded as a wonder. Maybe healings where people are made to walk again or see again or hear again. Even things like, believe it or not, resurrections, levitations, and on it goes. These are, we're told, the signs and wonders of our day. These are the wonders that are meant to make us gasp with amazement and draw us to faith. Now, while especially maybe over the last 20 or 30 years, these signs have captivated and enthralled many in the church. Sadly, it's been proven that many of these alleged signs and wonders are false. They've been discredited. And yet there are still many Christians, churches, TV programs that use them to try and attract people to the faith, especially Christian TV, certain kinds of churches, the signs and wonders movement, we're told is a new Pentecost, where there are these signs and wonders that will make people gasp in amazement and astonishment, and therefore make them come to faith in Jesus. Now, as I hope we'll see today, Jesus warns against signs and wonder faith. Although it captivates people, although it's used as an attraction, yet Jesus warns us against signs and wonder faith, at least these kinds of signs and wonders. There is another kind of sign and wonder that we'll see here today that Jesus very much wants us to see and be amazed at and astonished at. So we want to ask this question today: if sign and wonder faith is baby faith, what is mature faith? And how do we get it? If sign and wonder faith is baby faith, what is mature faith? And how do we get it? Because I'm sure we all want, do we not, real faith and strong and mature faith. Well, what Jesus does in this passage is he helps us grow from baby faith to toddler faith to mature faith. And first of all here, he shows us what baby faith is. He basically says miracle faith is baby faith. A faith that's focused on miracles is really just a very babyish faith, a very young faith, if it's real faith at all. It's very common. It was common in Jesus' day. Even before this passage, we can see it rising. For example, in John chapter 2, verse 23, we're told many believed in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. That's just after turning the water into wine. But Jesus, on his part, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people. So there's a lot of faith happening here, but it's not the kind of faith he wants. And he wouldn't commit himself to those who had this kind of miracle faith or this faith in miracles. We also read in chapter 3, verse 2, Nicodemus comes to him and says, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." So Nicodemus has heard of these signs. He's impressed by these signs. But as we know, Jesus was not impressed with Nicodemus' knowledge and awareness and the level of his faith. Then here in chapter 4, verses 44 to 45, he came to Galilee. The Galileans welcomed him, having seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. So here again, people are coming because he had done some miracles and signs. But again, as we'll see here, Jesus actually rebukes them for that kind of sign-hungry faith, that faith that is obsessed with miracles. And there are many other examples. These are just those we have up until this point in the Gospel of John. So this is a common faith. It was common in Jesus' day. It's common in our day. It's a faith that is focused on miracles, that is sustained by miracles, that's obsessed with miracles. And that kind of faith is insufficient faith. It's not saving faith, as we can see here, because we read here that when he came again to Galilee, where he had made the water wine, there was an official, a royal official, that's what the word means, somebody who was in Herod's royal household, probably some kind of high position there. He went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. But what does Jesus say? Jesus said to him, verse 48, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." That's interesting, isn't it? Because clearly, this man and those he is speaking to here, the Galileans, because it's in the plural, they had some kind of faith. They believed Jesus could do miracles. He could perform these signs and wonders. And yet, he says, they did not believe. They believed in a certain way, in a limited way, in a small way, but they did not believe in the best way, the highest way, a saving way. He says, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And you can see what Jesus is doing here. He's contrasting seeing with believing. Paul does this too. He says, we walk by faith, not by sight. And the faith of this royal official and these Galileans was a faith that was based on seeing. Except you see, you will not believe. And therefore, this is not sufficient faith. It's not the kind of faith that pleases Jesus. It's a baby faith. The faith that's focused on miracles is baby faith. The faith that's sustained by sight is immature faith. So what do we take away from that? Well, first of all, miracle faith is stunted faith. Sometimes those in the signs and wonders movement, they portray these tongue speakings, prophecies, healings, and so on, as if this is some second level, higher tier of Christianity. And what Jesus is saying is far from being higher, it's lower. It's stunted. It's nowhere near enough. It's childish. It's pre-kindergarten. It's weak. Many of those who believed that Jesus could do miracles and saw him do miracles and asked for miracles were unsaved and are in hell today. This is stunted faith. It's not a faith to be admired, wanted, desired, or practiced. But it is a growable faith. As we'll see here, Jesus actually takes this faith, this insufficient faith, this baby faith, and he begins to grow it, to develop it. So it's not without hope, right? In the hands of Jesus, he can take this limited faith, this small faith, this baby faith, and begin to nourish it and cherish it and feed it and strengthen it and grow it. And that's what he does. He can do this in our lives too. Many of us can testify to it. We maybe don't believe, we don't have a saving faith, we don't have a living relationship with Christ, but God brings some difficulty into our life as he brought it into this official's life. It may be a family need, it may be a health need, and we go to Jesus, we finally turn to God with that need, and although Jesus says that's not the right kind of faith, yet he works with it. He comes down to that very low level and he says, okay, this isn't the kind of faith I want, ultimately, but let's start here. Let's use this situation. Let's use this need to grow real faith, strong faith, mature faith. Baby faith is a faith that's focused on miracles. In other words, wonder faith is not wonderful faith. Wonder faith is not wonderful faith. So what is? How do we grow? Well, let's see how Jesus grows this man's faith here, because the next thing he tells us is that word faith is toddler faith. So he takes this faith that's focused on miracles, this baby faith, and he says, let's try and walk here. Let's try and get up on our feet and begin to even just weakly stumble forward. Let's see if we can make some progress here. And he does that, first of all, by his wonderful words that he speaks to this man. So we read in verses 49 through 50. Jesus' wonderful words. Having been rebuked by Jesus, what does the official do? The official said to him, verse 49, "Sir, come down before my child dies." So Jesus rebuked his faith, but in doing so, kindled and encouraged better faith. He hasn't given up here. He says, come down before my child dies. So this official doesn't defend himself. He doesn't say, but this faith is that, or the next thing. No, he says, okay, it's true. My faith is just baby faith. It's sign and wonder faith, but I'm still desperate. Will you please come down? Because without you, my child is going to die. What does Jesus do here? Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. He didn't go down. He didn't go with the man. If he had, that would have only encouraged his baby faith. It wouldn't have grown him. It wouldn't have developed him. It wouldn't have pushed him on. So he stays and simply speaks these amazing words here. Go, your son will live. Your son will live. Here's Jesus' wonderful words. There aren't any better. And he's really calling the man to move his faith away from wonders to the word. He doesn't perform the wonder, but he gives him his word to believe in. Wonderful words, the best words he could have ever heard. Words that went to his heart with life-giving power. How do we know that? Because he obeyed. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. Jesus speaks wonderful words, and the man responds with obedience, an obedience that grew out of a growing faith. Jesus was doing a wonderful work in this man, the wonderful work of growing faith. Now, this word had already done, as he spoke it, a wonderful work in his son, as we'll see. His healing began at that very moment. But this man did not know that. He wasn't there with his son. All he had was Jesus' words. And you can imagine that moment as Jesus spoke these words, "Go, your son will live." What does he do? Baby faith wouldn't go. Baby faith would stay there until he had evidence and proof that he had performed the miracle. But toddler faith turns around and starts heading home, believing, holding on to these words. Your son will live. Your son will live. Every step was powered and energized by these four words. This is wonderful. This is a work of God in his heart. Jesus spoke these words. He demanded faith in these words, and the official believed. He hadn't seen the wonder of Jesus in his son, but he believed the word of Jesus about his son. He believed the word. Word faith is growing faith. It's better faith. It's wonder faith, actually. It's amazing. So what does this call us to do again? How do we take this story into our stories and change our stories with it? Well, surely, like this man, we believe Christ's wonderful words. How many words did this man have to believe? Your son will live. Four words. And that was enough. Four words. How many words does your faith need? This man needed four. Do you know how many words we have in the Bible? It's something like 783,000 words. How much stronger, how much more mature should our faith be compared to this man's? We've got a lot more material to work with, don't we? And therefore, if this man is called to believe, so are we. True faith begins with faith in the truth. And that faith, that isn't a leap in the dark. It's actually a leap into the light. So believe, and the light will turn on. Take God at his word. Believe his wonderful words and ask for his wonderful work of faith. Jesus developed this man's faith from baby faith to toddler faith. He no longer needed sight to believe. He heard the word and acted on that. And it was enough for him to act on, but, it was actually not enough yet to save him. It's better faith than baby faith. Toddler faith is better faith than baby faith, but it's not yet the best kind of faith. As we'll see, word faith is better faith, but it's not the best faith. So what is? What is the best faith? If it's not a faith in miracles, and it's not a faith in the word, what is it? It's faith in Jesus. Jesus' faith is mature faith. Jesus' faith is mature faith. Notice here, we read, as he was going down, verse 51, his servants met him and told him his son was recovering. So we asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. Now watch these words. And he himself believed. There's something extra here, isn't there, that wasn't there before. He had a faith in miracles. Then he had a faith in Christ's word. And now, Jesus says, through John, he believes at this point. This, it would appear, was the moment when his faith moved from just a faith in the word of Jesus to a faith in Jesus himself. He himself believed. Jesus gave life to his son, physical life, but he also gave life to the official, spiritual life, as evidenced here by this kind of faith. No longer was he viewing Jesus as just a teacher or a worker, but as a savior. This is mature faith. This is saving faith. This is strong faith, and it's contagious, isn't it? When this faith comes into a life, it's such a wonder, it's so amazing, that it begins to spread. He himself believed, and all his household. His son had a miracle done in his life, physical life restored. But even more, he had spiritual life, which was an even greater miracle. What do you think the son was most glad for? For physical life that would be continued for another few years or decades, or spiritual life that would give him eternal life? The latter, eh? And all his household, his wife, his other children, if he had any, his servants, his workers. This whole household is transformed by this kind of faith in Jesus as a person. What does this tell us? It tells us that Jesus is our greatest wonder. Tongues, prophecies, healings, levitations, all these so-called wonders are nothing compared with the wonder of Jesus. If these things take some people's breath away, this should even more. This is what happened to this man. He was focused at the beginning of this day on signs and wonders, and now Jesus was his greatest sign and wonder. Jesus was his life. Jesus was his obsession. Let's put it this way. If you had a choice today between seeing a miracle or believing in Jesus, which would you choose? Choose the biggest wonder, not some minor wonder, some baby wonder. Choose the wonder of Jesus. He is God's greatest wonder. All the signs and wonders of this time were to point to him as the greatest wonder. All of these signs and wonders were just little signposts pointing to the one that God set forth to take our breath away, to make our eyes pop and our mouths drop, to set our pulses racing, to causes exhilaration and inspiration and motivation. He is the wonder of heaven, and he should be the wonder of earth and the wonder of our lives. That's why Isaiah prophesies the coming of Jesus. They shall call his name Wonderful. That's what this man, he found Jesus wonderful. He believed in him. As people saw the change in this man, this man's obsession now with Jesus, it was contagious. It spread. There wasn't one untouched by it. It transformed him. It transformed his household. Jesus is our wonder, our greatest wonder. And faith is a far greater wonder than any amount of foreign language tongue speaking or gibberish. Faith is a greater wonder than any healing. Faith is a greater wonder than any kind of prophesying, predicting, or telling of the future. This is God's greatest wonder when a sinner like you or I comes to faith in Christ. There's nothing more miraculous in all the world, is there? That's why in this gospel, the word believe appears 100 times. And almost all of them are in connection with saving faith in Jesus. But what do you think God wants you to take away from John? Well, say believe 100 times and you've got it. Believe, 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 and on and on and on it goes. That's what he wants. He wants faith in Christ, and he is prepared to work that wonder in your heart. Try and think for a moment or two about how amazing this is. It's the greatest miracle in the world. Because here, what do we profess as Christians? We profess that nothing we have ever done or ever can do can contribute to our going to heaven. That takes a ton of faith to stop looking to ourselves and look 100% away to someone we've never seen, we've never heard, we've never touched, that lived 2,000 years ago, that claimed to be God in human flesh, that claims to have been raised from the dead and sitting at the right hand of God. That's what we believe. That's impossible apart from the wonder of faith that God works in our hearts. Jesus is our greatest wonder, and Jesus gives wonderful faith. That's what amazes me day after day after day. That despite all that's in me, despite all the temptations in the world, despite all the doubts and questions and attacks and mockings that come on me and us day by day, we still say, I believe in Jesus. I'm not giving him up. He's my only hope. Nothing can explain that but the wonder-working power of God, working the wonder of faith in our wonderful Savior. That is the wonder of the world, that there's even one person in the world that believes that, that there are a few hundred people here, that there are many thousands around the world, hundreds of thousands, millions, in such a sinful world, a dark world, an unbelieving world, a skeptical world, a Satan-filled world, that you have faith is the greatest wonder of the world and should never cease to take your breath away. I believe. It's so wonderful. It's so amazing. Don't get distracted by little so-called signs and wonders. That just takes you away from the wonder of Jesus and the wonder of faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus, in this world, is the greatest wonder in the world. So, we asked, didn't we, earlier on, what is mature faith and how do we get it? We saw miracle faith is baby faith. Word faith is toddler faith. Jesus faith is mature faith. Therefore, what action results from this? What changes as a result of this? Become a wonder in the world by believing in God's greatest wonder in the world. Yes, Christian, you're a walking wonder. You're a source of amazement to heaven, to hell, to God's people on earth. I hope you are to yourself too. You are a wonder because you believe in the greatest wonder in the world. Amen. Let's pray. Our sign and wonder, Jesus Christ, we thank you for the wonder of faith. Use us to make others discover how wonderful you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.